I want to begin by reading our text, and so I have the words on the screen there for you. But if you'd like to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to jump into to this lesson here. So you follow along as I read. This is from the English Standard Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. It says this: "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as our guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether it be good or evil." Let's bow once again. Father, we ask that you take this passage and speak to our hearts. We give you the liberty and the freedom and the okay to do that by the power of the Spirit of God. So we want him to speak to our hearts and meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are studying what is called Unseen, Exploring the Realities of Heaven. So far, we've answered a couple of questions, and we're going to continue to do that. The first thing that we saw, by way of a short review here, we asked the question, why in the world do we even care about this stuff? Why do we even want to know about what happens to us after we die, or what heaven is like? Why do we care? I'm sure if you have a dog, your dog doesn't care that much about it. Or your pet goldfish is not worried about all these kind of things. Why in the world do we care? Why is it that you can go to any culture, any people group, anywhere in the world, and they have some kind of theological or understanding about these kind of things? Right or wrong, they still care about it, just as we do. Why is that? It's because the Scriptures tell us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity in man's heart. See, when God created you and me at the very beginning, He never created us to die. He created us to live, and He created us to live forever. But something changed, something happened. See, the Bible tells us that death and sin is not God's fault. See, what happens is we often want to blame Him for both. When someone dies unexpectedly, we want to blame God, wonder why, you know, God didn't protect the person or whatever. Sometimes when evil happens, bad stuff happens, we turn around and want to blame God. But the Bible says this in Romans 5:12. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Why? Because everyone's a sinner. Everyone has sinned. See, death and sin are connected. And death and sin are our fault. Man's fault, not God's. And so now, today, we have to deal with death. Even though somewhere down deep inside of each one of us, we know, if we're honest and we're not self-deceived, we know that death is not the end. because God has placed eternity in the heart of man. We saw that one. The second question that we actually began to look at, because we're going to continue that today. What happens to a Christian when they die? Someday, people are going to be standing in a service, and it's going to be my casket. It's going to be my photo up on the front counter. And I really want you to know the truth about where I will be and what's going on, because we all wonder that when we have a loved one that dies, and we have even a Christian who dies, where we wonder, I wonder what's going on, what they're doing, what are they doing, what are they experiencing? Well, God gives us some information about that in His Word. So what happens to a Christian when they die? First, we saw when a believer in Christ dies, he goes immediately into God's presence to be with Jesus Christ. And so the moment my mom died, the moment the person you know knew Jesus Christ as Savior, at that moment, they were with Jesus. Because it says this in 1 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, we would rather be away from the body or dead and be at home with the Lord. And then he went on, and in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, and he said this, my desire, Paul writes, is to depart or die and be with Christ. For that is not, it doesn't say just better. He said that is far, far better to be there than to be here. That was the desire of his heart. He wanted to be with Christ. So we see that Paul expected the moment that he died that he would see Jesus face to face and be in his presence. Paul believed that with all of his heart, and he wrote it down for us to read about. So not only after we die will we leave our body behind in the grave, and we will go to be with Jesus Christ, but also we saw last time that at a future time that our bodies will be resurrected back to life. Jesus was the first fruits. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. First fruit simply means there's more to come. There's a harvest of more to come, which is you and me. We're part of that harvest. And so the moment we die, that person goes to be with Jesus Christ. His body goes into the ground, waiting for resurrection day. So one day that body is going to come back to life like Jesus' body did. And so at that time, which is referred to as the rapture of the church, is when that will take place. If someone would go to Bill Cook's grave, it would be empty like Jesus' grave was empty. Because our literal bodies will rise from the dead, and like his body, will be changed and be like his. And so we saw that. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. It says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. We will be changed. And it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, and those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living, when all of that happens, will be transformed also. Reference to the rapture of the church. So those that have gone before us in death will be caught up to meet us who are alive on the earth, together in the air, and will be forever with Christ. That's where we left off last time. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many here have ever had to rent? They've had a landlord. And raise your hand. Have you ever done that in your life? You've had to rent and you've had a landlord to answer to. I think just about everybody has been there sometime. Now imagine, if you will, that one day you got a notice in the mail that you were going to have to move. It came from your landlord and he said, you're going to have to leave. Then imagine this. Imagine that the landlord is God. So you're in this temporary dwelling place. You're renting from the landlord, who is now God, and God is the one that's saying to you, you're going to have to move. Now, with that framework, with that introduction, I want to read something that I came across a few weeks back. It's good. And I'm sorry to say I don't have the author, so I don't know who wrote this. I wish I would have. It goes like this. Listen to this. The owner of the house I have lived in for many years has notified me that he will do little or nothing to keep it in repair. He also advised me to be ready to move. At first, this was not very welcome news. In many respects, the surrounding area is quite pleasant. And if not for the evidence of a somewhat declining condition, the house seems rather nice. Yet a closer look reveals that even a light wind causes it to shake a little and sway, and its foundation is not sufficient to make it secure. Therefore, based on that, I'm getting ready to move. As I consider the move, it is strange how quickly my interest is transferred to my prospective new home in another country. I have been consulting maps, studying accounts of its inhabitants, and someone who has gone from there to visit has told me how beautiful beyond description that it is. Even language is inadequate to fully describe what he heard while he was there. He said that in order to make an investment there, he has suffered the loss of everything he owned here, yet rejoices in what others would call a sacrifice. Another person whose love for me has been proved by the greatest possible test now lives there. He has sent me several clusters of the most delicious grapes I have ever eaten, and after tasting them, everything here tastes very bland. Several times I have gone to the edge of the river that forms the boundary between here and there, and have longed to be with those singing praises to the King on the other side. Many of my friends have moved across the river, but before leaving, they spoke of me following them later. I have seen the smile on their faces as they passed from my sight. So each time I am asked to make some new investment here, I now respond, I'm getting ready to move. We all have been given notice by our landlord, who is God. We don't know exactly how much time that we have, but there is two things we know for sure. First, the earthly house that we live in, our bodies, is in decline and will one day die. And that's true of every single one of us. And that means that we all need to be ready. We need to be ready to move, because one day we will be evicted by death. And when we're evicted by death, at that point, it'll be too late to get ready. We need to make sure that we're ready. We need to make sure that we're a forgiven child of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's not true about you and you don't have that confidence, then you need to talk to someone before it's eternally too late, before you're evicted from this house, from this body. One day, we're going to die and then be resurrected. That's true. That's a fact of life. Now, here's death. A little bit later, we don't know when, bodily resurrection. Have you ever wondered about the in-between, between the two? Have you ever wondered what it's like between death and bodily resurrection? Have you ever thought about that or wondered about that? Have you ever wondered what kind of body that you will have? What you or your existence will be like between the two? Between this death, when my body goes in the ground and I go to be with the Lord, waiting for resurrection day. Waiting for the time my body will rise from the dead. Have you ever wondered about that period of time there? I have. I've wondered. Some believe that God is going to give us some kind of temporary body that we will have in between death and resurrection. Others say, no, they don't believe that. So basically, when you think about that time, there's difference of opinion or a difference of agreement on that. Some say we will, some say we won't. And I've read on both. And so I'm reading one and I go, yeah, that sounds good. Look at those verses. And then I read the other guy and I go, well, that sounds good. Look at those verses. So when I'm all said and done, here's my answer to you. I don't have a clue. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to be dogmatic either way. So whichever way you study it, you look at it, come up with your conclusion, that's fine with me. Because one day we will know, anyhow, for sure. And no matter which way you believe, it's not going to affect the outcome. You know, and it's not going to affect what it is or what it will be. So I'm not really sure about that. But as I thought about that, so I'm in the in-between part. My body is in the grave. I'm with God in heaven, and I'm waiting for resurrection day. I think there's something here that's connected that we don't understand, we never will understand, but somehow it's the answer to it. Eternity has no time. There's no time there. Time has ceased. And so some way, somehow, that is all affected by that. Because I wonder about a believer in Christ who died back in 60 A.D. And so now he's been in heaven for over 2,000 years, probably thinking, when am I going to get my body? You know, it's been a long time here. I don't think it's like that. Because heaven is, there's no time there. And so somehow that affects that whole thing. I wonder if someone who's been in our time frame there for a very long time, as far as they're concerned, it hasn't been that long. That it seems like they've just kind of just got there. And they've experienced some exciting things and done some exciting things. But you know, they're still waiting, but I don't know if the waiting is that big of an issue to them because they're not living in time. So I don't know how that fits. I don't know what it's like to be a person existing in a timeless situation with no time. I don't know what that's like. We will never know what it's like until we actually experience it. And then once you experience it and come back to tell me, you probably can't explain it to me anyhow. Because it's one of those things. So I don't know. I just kind of think maybe that's part of the whole mix here when it comes to that. I think it's part of the whole mix when it comes to prayer. Here you got a God who lives in the present all the time. And you go to Him in prayer. Who's in the present all the time. We have a past and a future, but to Him it's all now. How hard would it be for Him to juggle the pieces around? You know, in our time. I don't know. I just can't wait to see what it's like to be there to do that. So I just kind of think maybe the answer to that problem might be right there. So the one thing I do know for sure is that whatever it is, however it comes about, it's going to be better. Temporary body, fine. No body at all, fine. I don't care. You know, however it works out. I believe it's going to be better. And that's what we see in our text here. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the body that you have right now, and it doesn't matter how good and beautiful you think it is or how other people might think it is or not, all it is a tent. That's it. It's a tent. That means, like a tent, it is only temporary. It was never, it's not going to last. Eventually the threads will shred and your tent will begin to wear out. Eventually it will start to leak. Have you ever camped and you were in an old tent and a storm came and you find out leaking? The tent you live in is going to grow old. And one day it'll have to be taken down and discarded. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 3 to 7. Solomon is describing old age. And it says this: remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble, get weak, shake, can't hold you up any longer. And before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding. And before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, and then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along with energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caper berry no longer inspires sexual desires. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. I don't have to tell you that these bodies of ours are wearing out. And what he's saying is, don't forget to serve God while you can, while you're young, while you still have a clear mind and strong body to serve God and do the things that he wants you to do, because eventually you will get where you can't like you used to. Our bodies are wearing out. Someone said that you know you are aging when it takes you longer to rest up than it did to get tired. That most of your dreams are reruns. You know you're aging when you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. You know you're aging when your mind signs contracts that your body can't keep. When you don't care where your wife goes, as long as you don't have to go with her. Been there, done that one. When your knees buckle, but your belt won't. When you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You know you're aging when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. As time goes on, our bodies are aging. The tent is not permanent. And we can do all the things that this world asks us to do to try to make it look like it's not aging. But it is, and it will wear out one day. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 3:20. He said, all go to one place. All are from the dust and will return to the dust. Some of us are a little dustier than others, I think. I heard about a little boy that came running downstairs, scared to death. His mother said, "What's wrong?" The little boy said, "Mother, didn't the preacher say that the body comes from dust?" She said, "Yes, he did. Didn't he also say that the body one day will go back to dust?" And his mom said, "You're right, he did." Then the little boy said, "Mama, you better come upstairs quickly and look under my bed because somebody's either going or coming." And that's the way life is, isn't it? Somebody's either going or coming. Thank God there is a comforting hope as we pass through this world and pass through this life. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that when this earthly tent that we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body," we see here that Paul was facing death, and he was facing it with great confidence because he knew and believed something with all of his heart. The reason we can face death with confidence is because we know, without a shadow of a doubt, we're confident that we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God and not by human hands. See, Paul knew that death was just trading in the old for the new. That's all it was. And actually, he couldn't wait to do it, to experience that. And Paul goes on and says in verse 2, "We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing." Does that describe you today? In this life, you just get to the place where you just feel weary of life. See, Paul is starting to get tired of the pain and the struggle and the limitations of life and the problems that we have to face and the stresses and the burdens and grief. And he's looking forward to being set free from all of it, from all of the disappointments and the struggles and the stuff of life that just weigh us down. We're looking forward to that day where time is no more, where everything is finally perfect for the first time. No more tears, no more struggle, no more heartache, no more pain, disappointments in life. 2 Timothy 4:6 tells us that Paul knows he's at the end of his life. And he's talking to his son Timothy. And we see in this statement that Paul has no fear. He also has no regrets of any kind. For he says this, he says, "For I know the time of my departure is at hand." What Paul is saying is it's time to take down the tent and move on to my permanent dwelling place. He's ready to trade in the old for the new. And he has no fears about it. It's only the believer in Christ, the one that has God in his heart, the ones that's been forgiven of all their sins, are going to be able to face death and face it confidently and with peace. A peace and confidence that God gives you at the time when you need it. Paul was ready to trade in the old, and his old must have been pretty beat up and ragged because of all the persecution and stuff that he went through, all the beatings and the stonings and the whippings. I can imagine that he looked far beyond his years bodily speaking. And I can't imagine the pain that he must have lived with every day, not just due to old age, but due to old age and all the beatings that he took and all the abuse that he went through, how he must have hurt and was looking forward to that day. He was going to trade in the old for the new. One of these days, we're going to take our old car, our old Buick. We'll have to, because they don't go forever, and we're going to trade it in for something new. Are we going to be afraid to do that? Well, maybe in this life you are, because you don't know what you're going to get sometimes. But it's going to be like that. It is said that late in his life, John Quincy Adams, who was our sixth president, somebody asked John Quincy, he said, "How are you doing?" He said, "John Quincy Adams is well, sir, very well. The house in which he has been living in is feeble. The shingles are coming off the roof. The foundation is a bit shaky. And he has received word from its maker that he must vacate it soon." But John Quincy Adams, "He's fine, sir, just fine." John Quincy Adams was groaning for glory, knowing that he will one day soon trade in the old for the new. Sometimes people will ask, what will you look like after you die? What will you look like? The answer that we can all give, if ever asked that question by someone, "Better, much better than I do today." Paul says this in verse 1, "For we know." He's absolutely confident of this. How can he be so sure about all of this? And the answer is given in verse 5. It tells us, God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. The reason why we can be so confident and so at peace when we think about death, especially as we draw closer and closer to it, is because we know that God has prepared us for this. And he has given us a guarantee, which is the Holy Spirit of God. The word guarantee means he's given us a first installment. He has given us a down payment. And the one that I like the best illustrating the word guarantee is he has given us an engagement ring. It's like at salvation, Jesus looked straight at you and said, "Would you take me? Would you marry me? Would you let me be your Savior, your Lord, your husband?" And when we respond to that invitation and we say yes to him, we ask him to come into our life and into our heart and forgive us of our sins and be our Lord and Savior. Be our groom, and we'll be his bride. He gave us an engagement ring, guaranteeing us that there's much more to come. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's your engagement ring. The fact that you have become the temple of the Holy Spirit is the pledge, is the guarantee of everything we just talked about, that we're going to trade in the old for the new. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, "And he has identified us as his own." How has he identified us as his own? By placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us. That's the guarantee. That's the engagement ring. God says, in light of everything I have just told you and I just have just promised you, verse 7 says this, walk by faith in it, not by sight. All we have to do is believe it to be true and live our lives according to what He has said, knowing that this is true, knowing that one day we will be with Him, knowing that one day we're going to rise again from the dead in our new glorified bodies, that's all true. Should affect our hearts and affect our lives and touch us. We need to believe and live according to it. There's only one way we can see what's unseen. It's through the eyes of faith. We all are dying. And the only question, important question, that we need to ask ourselves and we need to ask others that they would ask themselves this question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. To God, it's a precious thing. Why? Because we're going to be with Him. We're going to meet Him and see Him as He is. When you put your faith in Christ to save you and forgive you, at that very moment, you become a saint. You at that very moment set apart as a child of the living God, adopted into His family, and qualified and ready for heaven. Knowing that truth, walk by faith, not sight. Trust His promises, especially when it gets hard and difficult, especially when we experience things as we get older. Know that day is coming when we will be set free. Know that when you're in the middle of darkness because of circumstances and pain and grief and heartache, know that one day we will be set free from all of it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what this says, that promises that we just live in this tent, but one day we will have a house, something much, much better, and something that's eternal in the heavens. We want to thank You for that. We want to thank You that throughout eternity, we're going to be like You. We're going to be clothed in a body that's like Yours, a body that is incorruptible, a body that will last forever, a body that will be strong. And we want to thank You that that's our blessed hope. That's what we believe. Life right now is just temporary. Father, may we take the time that You give us and to use it for You and for Your glory. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.